Proverbs chapter number 6, we'll look at verses 16 and 17. If you didn't get a handout, I believe there's a few still around somewhere. They're on the back. Oh, they're all handed out, okay? If you want one or didn't get one, again, this handout is not a guide to follow along step by step. This is a study guide, something for you to take home and to work through this coming week. You can kind of follow along the points, but that's not the point of this. The point is that something that after we teach and preach, that you take it home and you can answer some application questions. Then there's some new this week. Well, I've included some ministry, like how am I going to apply this to my ministry? And so you take a look at that, and I hope that will be a blessing to you as well. So we've been looking at the last couple of weeks the abominations of God, and we started out in Proverbs 16 and verse number 5, and then we moved on. We talked about the proud look, and now we moved on to point number 2. You'll see from your outline, we're looking at Proverbs chapter number 6, verses 16 and 17, and we'll read those in just a moment. And we're moving on to the second abomination that God hates, is a none other than a lying tongue. And as I gave out my paper to my wife, she said, "Oh, you got this from me. I covered this last night at the Bible study." I was like, "No, I wish I would have known when they sent me a little bit of work and time." Amen. So let's see what the Lord has for us. Who would read for the pastor this evening? Proverbs 6, verses 16 and 17. Proverbs 6. All right, Miss Fran, go ahead and thank you. All right, let's pray. Father, we come before you this evening. We thank you for the praises, blessings, and testimonies. And I pray, Father, that the time that we take week in and week out, Father, to offer these prayer requests up and people can share what you have done in their hearts and lives, it's not for naught, Father, that we'll be reminded, Father, just as you work in other people's lives, Father, that you'll work in our lives as well. Surely, Father, it may not be the same way, or the same reasoning, Father, but we know that as you worked in other people's lives, Father, you're still working our lives as well. And then, Father, I pray that your people be found faithful, praying, Father, for these special needs that have been lifted up today. Father, bless now this time as we meet here from the book of Proverbs. Once again, Father, help us in this matter of understanding of what is abomination in your eyes. So, Father, we love you and we thank you. We seek to give you honor and glory, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. We need to keep in mind as we look at this matter of a lying tongue, we're looking at things that really are disgusting to God, things that are an abomination to God. I'm reminded of Proverbs 12 and verse 22, where the Bible says this: lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are his delight. So let me ask you this question. Do you want to be considered an abomination to God, or do you want to be considered truly a delight in the eyes of the Lord? And so we think of a lot of different things that that happen to us that we get ourselves into as Christians. I don't think too many of us here have murdered somebody. If you did and you got forgiveness and you made things right, you know, glory to God for that. Not in your sin, but you made it right. And, you know, we might not commit adultery, but if you have and you confess it as sin, I'm thankful for that. But here's one thing, really, that I think every one of us, myself included, sometimes trip us up, and it's this matter of lying. And sometimes when we lie, we're not, when we're lying, we're not lying to get out of something. Most of the time when Christians lie, they're lying to improve themselves or make themselves look a little bit better. But God says lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. Remember, it disgusts God. And here he's making reference to you and I with this matter of lying lips. If you think about it, who could tell me who the father of all lies is? Satan. Satan is the father of all lies. One writer put it this way: Satan is the composer of corruption. He's the penman of perversion. He's the designer of deception. He's the architect of apostasy. He's the contriver of the cults, and he's the ruler of rebellion. And I think if you think about Satan, I think his mission in the Garden of Eden was to deceive Adam and Eve. I think that's solely what his purpose was there that day. And guess what? He succeeded in deceiving Eve. But with Adam, guess what? Adam sinned with his eyes wide open. And 1 Timothy 2 and verse 14 tells us that. The Bible says, and Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in transgression. So we're going to look at this matter of lying perhaps today and perhaps continuing on next week as well. Understand, first of all, that lying is repulsive. It's repulsive. And liars are repulsive because their speech is untrustworthy. Now, we all have met people who have told us a lie. And once you catch them in that lie, guess what? Every time they tell you something, you're thinking, well, are they telling me the truth or are they telling me another lie? It takes a very long time, really, to build up, again, that trust in them. And so we find their speech is untrustworthy. And it's untrustworthy because they contradict the principles of God's righteousness. And they follow the path that Satan has blazed for mankind. You understand that if God is the author of truth, Satan is the author of lies. And so Satan really is blazing a trail for all mankind to do anything that he can to go against God, even in Christian circles in this matter of telling lies. And we'll probably get into it a little bit later, but when we think about lies, it means a little bit more than that. And even sometimes those little that we call white lies, you know, you think about white lies. Is that so bad? Well, let me ask you this. If you're a white witch, is that good compared to a black witch? No, they're both an abomination to God. But understand this, so we have to be careful. And don't look at this and say, well, I regularly do not lie. But maybe you stretch the truth, which is, in other words, it's a lie. Maybe you tell little white lies. Listen, it's still a lie and it's still an abomination to God. God not only hates lying, but he also hates exaggeration. And sometimes we exaggerate. Like, I went fishing the other day and I got a fish about this big. Pastors are notorious for being the biggest liars in town. How many people did you have? Oh, 150, 160 or so, but I don't really count, but it just seemed to be that way. And 20 people showed up at church that day, and they're notorious for doing that. And so, exaggeration, how about fraud? If we defraud someone, that's lying. How about this? Misrepresentation. Oh, you can trust me. This car is great. It hasn't given me any problems. Why are you selling it? Oh, my wife wants to buy a new car. Otherwise, I want to keep it, you know. I don't want to spend the money. And they drive it out and the transmission drops out. The oil pan begins to leak. So we lie by misrepresenting. We also lie by false witnessing. Just flat out. False witnessing gives the idea of sitting in a courtroom telling something false. Or your boss says, hey, did you see Joe steal that hunk of metal from the shop the other day? And you might have, you say, I didn't see nothing. I don't see nothing. It's dark back there. And so we find you're giving false witnessing. But then how about this? You know, maybe you don't misrepresent. Maybe you don't have fraud. Maybe you don't really have false witnessing in their life. But I can tell you this. Perhaps you have this, which is slander. Let me just use another word for slander that might be more familiar with you. Gossip. You know, gossip is wrong, and God detests those that gossip. And you say, well, I'm telling the truth. Well, listen, just because it's true doesn't mean you have to say it. And when you gossip, it's a form of lying. And while it's true that God hates lying, guess what? Just the opposite. He loves truthfulness. Turn in your Bible to Psalm 51 and verse 6. Psalm 51 and verse 6. What a wonderful psalm this is. Who would read that for the pastor? Psalm 51 and verse number 6. All right, thank you. All right, so here we have who crying out to God? David, he's crying out to God. And he says, behold, thou, speaking about God, this is the prayer to God, desireth truth in the inward part. So God detests lying, but guess what? He loves truthfulness. Proverbs 12 and verse 22, you don't have to turn there, but the latter part of that verse says this, but they that deal truly are his delight. So we find that God detests lying, but he loves those who tell the truth. So lying is repulsive because it makes people believe that our truth is unworthy. You say, well, what's the big deal? Let me give you an example. And so you're at work and you're talking to someone and you give a lie and you sin and you lie to them. Well, what happens is simply this, is that maybe a week or two goes by and your coworker finds out that you lied to him, that you didn't get a fish that's this big, that it was only this big to begin with. And then what happens is when you feel the urging of the Holy Spirit to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ, guess what? He's not going to believe you. He's not going to trust you. He's going to be thinking, well, he lied to me once about the big fish that he caught. I wonder if he's telling me the truth about this gospel that he says and the God that he loves. And so lying is repulsive, but then notice something else. We find it is deceptive. It's deceptive. And a lie is deceptive because it replaces truth with a falsehood. And lying misleads people the same way that Satan misled Eve inside the Garden of Eden. And I'm reminded of what the Lord said in John 8 in verse number 44, speaking about Satan. He said, he is a liar and the father of it. So lying is deceptive because it causes people to believe what isn't true. And guess what? Oftentimes, it hurts them more than it hurts those that hear it. Most of the times when people tell lies, it's really think about times that you have stretched the truth and you've told a lie, and that's an abomination to God. And most of the times, it's not on things that really matter. It's on something stupid, and you just stretch the truth, or you gossip, or you slander, or you bear false witness. And most of the times, things that people lie about, who cares? Who cares if your fish was this big? Who cares if it was a minnow only an inch big? Nobody really cares. And so we could do ourselves a really big favor by really just telling the truth. Ezekiel 13, verse 22 tells us this, because with lies you have made the heart of the righteous sad. Another reason why that we ought not to tell the truth, not only is it an abomination to God, but guess what? If other brothers or sisters know that you're known to be a liar, guess what? It's going to grieve their heart. And lying is deceptive because it breaks trust and deals falsely with others. Paul writes to the church of Colossae in chapter 3 in verse number 9. Lie not one to another, seeing that ye have put off the old man with his deeds. The old man could be looked at as being one who did not tell the truth, and didn't have Christ as their Savior, didn't have the Comforter, the Holy Spirit of God living and dwelling within them to instruct them in righteousness and the Word of God. They didn't have the Bible, the God's Word, to help them live and walk a pathway that would be pleasing to Him. So Paul says, lie not one to another, seeing that we have put off the old man, and now we have put on the new man in Jesus Christ. I think we could sum it up by saying this. Lying is deceptive because it replaces the truth with falsehoods and leads people away from what is right. Now listen, I like to be accused of a lot of things, good things, but I never want to be accused of leading people away from what is right. And when we lie, it replaces truth with falsehoods and leads people away, particularly from the righteousness that could be found in Jesus Christ. So we see that lying is repulsive and it's deceptive, but notice something else. Notice the liability in lying. And I think when we think about the ability to lie, is always a liability to you and I. And why is that? Because it hurts the person that lies more than the person that receives it. And so people hear it, but listen, when we lie, it hurts us more than it hurts the person that we're speaking it to. I think about this, people who frequently tell white lies. They really risk this possibility of becoming morally and spiritually blind. I think the struggle to see the truth when you're constantly telling white lies, it's because their dishonesty really has dulled the perception of the righteousness found in Christ, the truth of God's word. And this liability shows up particularly when people who do not know Christ as their Savior convince themselves that salvation really isn't important. It shows up in the life of believers if you're constantly telling little white lies, which is, by the way, an abomination to God. Really, it shows up in their everyday life. And when they say, listen, church is not important. Ministering is not important. Evangelism is not important. And we deceive ourselves. And I think about those who have not trusted in Christ. They delay their decision to receive Christ until one day they can't make that decision any longer. You say, well, why can't they? Because they're dead, and they're in the grave, and they're down in hell, and they can't make that decision. Same with believers. We delay our decisions. This constantly telling white lies, constantly telling lies, an abomination to God, puts us in the mindset of, I can do whatever I want. I can lie to them. I can lie to them. And we think that we're lying really to God, but God knows our hearts, and we can't lie our way from God. You can fool your wife, and you can fool your children. You can fool your friend, but listen, you cannot lie your way out of God, because God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. He knows your every thought before you even think it. When a person dies without Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, because they have delayed their decision, they'll spend an eternity in hell with all the other liars. And that, my friend, is a big liability. And for those who are saved, oftentimes this, we allow the falsehoods of our life and the falsehoods that we speak and the white lies to really cloud our judgment. And we no longer are able to see clearly what God has for us. And God might speak to our hearts about calling us to the preaching ministry or the pastorate or a certain ministry at a local New Testament church. And because our mind is so clouded with falsehoods and lies, we don't do what God would have us to do. And one day, we'll give an account for that work that we did not do that He called us to do. And I think, my friends, that's a big liability for both the lost. I'm reminded of Revelation 21 and verse number 8. You don't have to turn there. Of course, this verse is preached on pretty regularly. The Bible says, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and the murderers and the whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters, and you think that's a terrible list. The abominable, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters. But then we find John adds these words being penned down under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God. And all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. So we see that lying is something that God abhors. He hates it. It's detest in His nostrils. And I think we'll stop here for tonight, and we'll pick up next week as we meet back together again. We'll see that lying is also abhorrent to God. And we'll look at diagnose that word abhorrent to God. And so I think we could close with this thought that that we need to take a look at our speech patterns. We need to take a look at our thought patterns. Because before we speak a lie, guess what? We think a lie. And you can't say, well, the devil made me do it. No, most of the time the devil has nothing to do with your white lies, your gossip, your hypocrisy. You do it on your own because you freely choose to do that. So let's do this, because God really delights in those that tell the truth, because He is truth. Let's be truthful about the things, and we'll pick this up next week. Father, we do love